Any more praise reports? Okay. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? As we partake of the communion, God wants us to specifically discern the body of Christ. That means we're going to look directly at this bread, and we're going to see the different things about this bread that typifies Jesus. This is the body of Christ. This is matzah bread, by the way, and it's made without yeast. And yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And we know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. And you'll look, notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. And that tells us, in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. And it tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been pierced. It tells us that Jesus' body was pierced. Even when he was on the cross, he got a spear thrust into his side. But his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns. And his body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. And his body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. And that tells us that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. For Jesus, we're taking of this broken body. You told us to take it as often as we will. We're taking it in your name. We thank you for it. Jesus' blood is so perfectly pure because there's no sin in it. He never made a mistake. Our blood is sin tainted. That's why we have to have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. It's because this blood is so perfectly pure that it could wash away our sins. And it's because of this blood that he shed that we can stand in the presence of God and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. And in our world, I don't know if you've noticed this, but our financial system is going completely berserk. And it's going to get crazier for a little bit, you know. But I see a lot of people that are panicked. And there's some that are just sitting back, relaxing. Every Christian in the world should be sitting back, relaxing, and shouting hallelujah that the financial system is going through what it's going through. What happens is the world feeds fear into people. The news feeds fear into people. They talk about, the oil prices are going up, gas prices are going up for a little bit. Understand it's going to go down. But if the world just shut down, the internet shut down, the bank shut down, if everything shut down, would you be okay? Yes. We can be okay. We put our faith in Jesus. See, Proverbs chapter 10, 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You know something about this? This verse was written far before we had the internet. It was written far before we had all of these financial systems that we got. Far before we had credit cards and debit cards and checkbooks. It was written far before we had electricity. It was written far before we had anything. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. That's good news. That's good news. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. See, when Jesus, when he went to the cross, he met every single need that we'll ever have. Every single one of your needs will be met at the foot of the cross. See, that's where Jesus changed everything. Absolutely everything changed at the cross. Nothing was ever the same. Now, Christians try to cling to the old stuff from the old covenant because there's something about a man that thinks if he doesn't earn something, he can't receive it. But we can't earn anything from God, can we? We can only receive from him. And the Bible tells us that he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. He's given it to us. We just have to receive it. So we should thank him for it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Now, yeah, we'll read that. There's another verse that I want to look at because it's kind of curious. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we either have to believe God is good to his word or not. And here's the problem. We like to shout hallelujah and say that God is good and that God will meet all our needs in glory, in his glory, by his glory and riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But then when the pressure hits, is he still going to meet those needs? Mm-hmm. So we should not be talking about lack. We should be talking about him meeting our needs. See, no matter what kind of a challenge you face, the first thing you should look at is Jesus. The first place you should go, if you have a financial challenge, or some kind of something you got to do, some kind of a project, the very first place you should go is the cross. Too many people go to their checkbook and they look and see what the checkbook says, and then they look at the forecast and see if there's any money coming in, and they say, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe we better not do this. But that's not what God says now, is it? See, you're not believing God when you do that. You'll believe God in the face of lack. You know, Isaac was in a drought. He was, They call it a famine. That's a severe drought. I mean, there's nothing to eat. And Isaac sowed. It tells us that he sowed wheat. And he harvested. But wheat can't grow without rain, can it? Okay, so that was in the Bible time. I'm going to give you a modern day example of this. My friend lived in Montana, and he was a wheat farmer, and it wasn't raining. And he said, well, you don't have to have rain to grow wheat. And everybody hee-hawed him. They laughed at him. He said, no, you don't have to have rain to grow wheat. So in that country, if the wheat gets tall enough, but it's not going to make wheat, they'll hay it. But if it doesn't get tall enough to make hay, they'll just plow it under. Everybody was plowing theirs under. But not my friend. He ordered harvesters. And then they said, well, how big of a truck do you really need? What does this thing need to fall? No, you're going to send me a big one. And he harvested a very good crop of wheat. But it didn't rain. See, the words of your mouth will satisfy your belly. That's a modern day example of putting the word of faith into example in the face of lack, that God was going to supply all his needs. Now, you got to admit that it takes some nerve to do that. His friends were laughing at him. But that's faith. You're going to say what God says. You're not going to talk about your natural circumstances. You're not going to talk about the facts. You're going to talk about the truth, the Word of God. This is where the rubber meets the road in the Word of Faith. This is where your faith is going to either go forward and break through what seems impossible, or it's going to falter and you'll take another trip around the mountain. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, then empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree shall fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observes the wind, pay attention to this verse. He that observes the wind shall not sow. He that regards the clouds shall not reap. Thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb, or her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God, who makes all. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be good alike. Right there, he was telling us, he was instructing us to be generous, to shed abroad. You know, the world, the church world, has seemed to have been programmed into thinking that every dime that you give goes to the church. And I mean, I've seen pastors get screaming mad if you didn't make every dime go to the church. I'm going to tell you this straight up. Not every dime goes to the church. There's widows, there's orphans, there's strangers, there's fellow Christians. There's people in need. There's a lot of places that you can give. Remember, he said, shed abroad. You give it 7-8 different ways. Go all over the place. Scatter that seed out there. You don't know which seed's going to land on a rock, which seed's going to land on fertile soil. But he said, sow it. He said, cast your bread upon the waters, and it's going to come back. See, this is the wonderful thing about God. We don't understand how he makes this happen, but he makes it happen. We just keep casting our bread upon the water. Pretty soon it comes back. And if you keep casting that bread upon the water, it comes back on every wave. And, you know, I seen a guy one time said, you need to keep track of your giving. You need to log it all and then keep track of what blessing is attached to it. And I thought, how in the world do you do that? It doesn't say to do that in the Bible. It says to cast your bread upon the water. And pretty soon it'll come back. Amen. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given into your bosom. Amen. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Any of you ever watched Larry Bird play basketball? I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. And I've watched this guy play basketball a lot of times, and he has to be by far one of the most clumsy people I have ever seen on a basketball court. Absolutely, I don't know how this guy survived. But nobody could shut him down. He could make he was not graceful at all, but he could shoot baskets from places nobody would even dream of. He was one of the best. And I'd watch him and I'd think, how is that possible? He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the most graceful, but he was the winningest. He was the best. See, the race is not always to the swift. But here's the most important part you're going to ever hear. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Go down all the way down to the bottom. Says, but time and chance happens to them all. Now that would make you think that you're going to get lucky once in a while. See, that's a bad translation. That's a bad translation. What that really says is that God gets you to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to you. Now remember, Jesus became our high priest and he's at the right hand of God. And the Bible tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for us. How about that? You've got the best word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth praying for you. Now, you know, if we would cooperate with him a little bit, we'd be in the right place at the right time. You know, there's people that run around and it seems like they've got the Midas touch. You know, they're always in the right place at the right time. They always these things happening to them that causes good. And then people say, man, they're just lucky all the time. You know, or maybe not. Maybe they're listening to the Holy Spirit and he's causing them to get where they need to be. Amen. See, he talks to us all the time. He talks to us all the time. We just don't listen to him. And a lot of times we dismiss him as it's just something we thought of. You know, he talks to us. How many of you have woke up in the morning, had a cup of coffee, and said, you know, something told me not to go there yesterday? His name is not something. His name is Holy Spirit. And he was talking to you. And you just thought it was you. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured back unto you. You know, there's a lot. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about giving. The Bible talks a lot about money. And money is one of those things that there's deep, deep ditches on both sides of the road. Really deep ditches. I've seen pastors where they couldn't have a sermon on Sunday unless they talked about money for 30 minutes before the sermon. Or 40. Some of them, almost the talking about the money takes longer than it does the sermon. And then there's some that just get raging mad when you talk about money. You know, I told a guy one time about a blessing that I got, and you could just, everything about we talked about was just open and free, and then the minute I talked about this blessing hit, he just see this wall come across his face, and he shut down. And this is a very religious man. And he said, well, we can't be all about money. And there was just one mention about money. All this other stuff about these miracles and these blessings and these great things that God had done. And I mentioned money one time and he just shut down. See, that's the other side of the ditch. You can stay right down the middle of the road and live a happy and prosperous life. God wants you to have money. He just doesn't want money to have you. Luke chapter 17, verse 21 says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, getting these financial blessings flowing is going to start right in here, right in your core. Too many times we're looking out there, but remember, he's already given it to you. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to find out what God says about it. We're going to have to meditate on it and believe it. Believe it in here so you can say it. When you release your words in faith, that causes things to happen. Also, you have all these angels that have been sent to minister for you. And what the Bible tells us that they hearken unto the voice of his word. So when you speak his word into the atmosphere, it sends them angels out there, and they go out there to cause things to happen for you. They cause God's word to happen in your favor. See, you have a loaded deck. Most Christians don't realize what kind of a loaded deck they have to play with. They have been given, literally, they have been given power of attorney to use Jesus' name. You know what that means when you have power of attorney to use somebody's name? That means you can literally take their checkbook and you can fill out a check and sign it And it's just as if they signed it. That's what Jesus did for us. And most Christians take this checkbook and fill it out for $5, trying to be humble. And that's not what Jesus wants. He wants you to write a big check on his account. Why? Why do you need so much? So you can spread it out there. There's a lot of people need some help right now. You know that? There's a lot of people out there that don't have enough. There's a lot of people out there that don't have enough food. There's a lot of people out there that need medical help. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear the gospel. And I don't know if this is fresh news to the church world, but it takes money to get people born again. Now, in a wonderful, perfect world, every believer would pick up his cross and go out there and witness to people every day. You know, this thing would spread a lot faster now, wouldn't it? But that's not the way it happens. So God has these evangelists that go all over the world. They go all over the country. So it takes them, they have to have a car to get there, gas to get there, and they have to eat while they're there. And then they have to have some Bibles to give these people. And then some of them fly all over the world. I was sitting in a cafe up home and somebody was mad about preachers having an airplane. My pastor had an airplane. And somebody's mad. I said, I want him to have that airplane. I'm glad he has that airplane. I support that airplane. Why? So, because he flies into the road places in Montana and South Dakota that nobody's going to drive to. He flies over there and has Bible studies for these people. And then he flies back. See, he does it on purpose. It's not just a fun thing for him. He flies these planes to these different places that nobody's going to drive to. And there are small places that nobody wants to go be a full-time pastor at. But he'd fly all over the place getting people born again. See, you get to be a part of that when you support that. I can tell you firsthand that if some of you hadn't supported an evangelist in Texas, I wouldn't have gotten born again. And he drove all the way up into the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, to have a little tiny cowboy church service for maybe 30 people. And guess what? That was the first time I ever heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But it took money to get him there. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Circle that part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, I ran into that verse when I was in junior high. For some reason, they had a Kenneth Hagin book in the school library. And I seen that and it caught my eye and I started kind of reading it. And I thought, man, this might change my life for him. And then they started talking about Jesus and repenting and had to get right. And that, you know, I guess the devil still had a strong enough hold on me that I wasn't willing to hear the gospel. But this verse right here, as a man thinketh in his heart, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to receive. If you believe you can do something, you can. If you believe you can't do something, you can't. Whichever way you believe, you're 100% right. See, you design how your journey is going to go more than what you understand. If you believe that you're going to have a good journey, guess what? You're going to have a good journey. If you believe you're going to have a bad one, guess what? You're going to attract what you believe, because you're going to receive what you believe. And more often than not, you've said it with your mouth. You've already said, I can't do this. So then you go attempt to do something and it doesn't work. And then you go home and say, see, I knew I couldn't do that. Well, you were right. You shouldn't have even left home. But if you think you can do something, that does something different in your heart. That does something to your will, and that does something to your mind. If you think you can, you can. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, there's a lot of people running around that have no idea of just what they have in this country. You know, there's a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people that just don't think they can do anything because they don't have the right education. They don't have enough money. They don't have this. They don't have that. That all the excuses are just a mile long. There's a whole bunch of different excuses on why people can't do something. As long as they believe they can't, they won't. But until they change their heart through the Word of God and their thinking, get their mind lined up with the Word of God, they won't. You know, the Bible, this is one of my very first verses that I learned after I finally figured out I had to start learning something in the Bible. It said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So for the longest time, I had been told, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you're not good enough for this, you're not talented enough for this, you don't have an education, you don't have enough. I heard all the excuses. I heard them all. And I believed them all. So then I couldn't do much. I believed what I heard. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the devil. This is why teachers need to be held to a much higher degree of accountability than they have been. Teachers speak into children's lives every single day. And if you have a teacher in there telling kids that they can't do this because they're not talented enough, they can't do this because they're from the wrong side of the tracks, they can't do this because they don't have enough money, they can't do this because your dad's this or that. And when you have someone like that, they need to be taken out of that position and replaced with somebody that will build kids up. This is why the public school system is so broken and so dangerous. See, people are going to absorb what they hear. And that's all of us. So when we hear the word of faith, when we see the word of faith, and we receive the word of faith into our hearts, and we believe what God says about us, then pretty soon we'll start doing things that aren't supposed to happen. You know, you look at God's people. He used a lot of deep, if you look at that poster back there, you'll find a lot of deeply flawed people that God did miraculous things with. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. There's a lot of pastors running around that are very dynamic, but according to the religious world, they don't qualify to be a pastor. You know, my friend, he's an Assembly of God pastor. He was an Assembly of God pastor. And we spent a lot of time visiting. And one time he said, you know, according to their rules, he didn't qualify to be a pastor. And I said, why? And he said, because I drank a half a beer. I said, well, that counts me out, don't it? See, man-made rules, man-made religion messes up the Word of God. Man-made religion messes up Christians' lives. See, we have to understand this. Jesus came here to set us free. He set us free from a religious system that wasn't supposed to be intact anymore. He took it out of the way. And Christians seem to be clinging to it. You're supposed to be walking in the liberty of Christ. You are free. You are free to succeed. You are free to prosper. But if you don't believe that God wants you to be prosperous, you're probably not going to be prosperous. If you believe that God wants you to succeed, you'll succeed. You have to believe it in your heart first. Same way you got born again. You believed that God raised Jesus back to life, didn't you? See, you believed something. See, you can do that. You believed it. And then you spoke what you believed. And now because of that, you are saved. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So somebody had to put that into your heart, didn't he? Somebody had to tell you about the gospel. Everything else is going to be the same way. If you're going to prosper, you're going to find out what God says about prosperity, and you're going to receive it from him. You're going to believe it. You have to meditate on it, get it in your heart, and believe it. So once you believe it, then you can say it. And then you can look at these impossible situations and say, you know, we can do this. There was a guy, this pastor, he ran a big orphanage. And one of his helpers come in and had this stack of bills and put these bills on that pastor's desk and said, what are you going to do about this? And the pastor grabbed them bills and threw them in the trash can and said, I ain't going to do anything about it. He said, what do you mean? He said, those are God's kids. This is his idea. He's going to take care of it. And guess what happened? He took care of it. They came to him one time and they said, we don't have any milk to feed the kids. What are you going to do? He said, I ain't going to do anything about it. Those are God's kids. He's going to feed them. It's his idea. A milk truck tipped over. They said, come get all this milk because we can't sell it now. So the orphanage went and got all that milk. They had plenty of milk for the orphans. God has ways of meeting our needs, and we don't know. We don't know how the Spirit works. You know, it's really none of our business. It's really none of our business at all. He told a prophet to go sit under the leaf of a tree by a brook. Said he'd take care of him there. Well, how are you going to feed me if I just go there? Well, he fed him with the raven. This raven would bring him food. That makes perfect sense. So how many of you would pack up and go sit down by Olympia Creek if God told you go down there and sit there for several months? He'd feed you. How many? I bet hardly anybody would step out of their house. God said he'll take care of you. The way and the means is none of your business. But we as Americans have this habit of drawing out these plans and agendas, and this is how we're going to get from point A to point B. But remember, you can't put God in a box like that. Getting from point A to point B might be like this with God. I mean, you might be all over the place before you finally get to B. And he might have some other things that he needs you to do. He might have a few things he wants you to learn. So if you think that you're going to figure out how God is going to get finances to you, you better have another cup of coffee. He's brought finances to me in ways that I could have never, ever dreamed up. Ever. Ever. But just know this. He knows exactly where you are. He's trying to get you to the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to you. What he really wants you to do is stop worrying and start enjoying the ride. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us and blessing us. We thank you that you have already met every single need that we have, and you met it at the cross. You set us free to live in liberty with you, and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have some good snacks, some fellowship back here. Come on back and have some.